It is the eve of the new year, and it is time to thank some people and to talk about what happened this year and reset for 2020 in Bob Davis podcast land. And so that is what we're going to do in podcast 889, the Bob Davis podcasts. They tell you these days that you're not supposed to make resolutions. I was never big on making New Year's resolutions anyway. Some people are. I see a lot of people posting stuff on social media about getting planners and getting organized. And, you know, to a certain degree, I suppose this time of the year is the right time to do that. I don't do that. What I have been seeing people post, they've been saying things like, you're supposed to review. It's better to review your year than it is to plan your year. And in the end, I just end up throwing all those kinds of advice, all that advice stuff, I just end up throwing it out the window because most of the time it isn't useful at all. So I'm going to simply say at the beginning of this whole podcast, before we get into it, that not only is this the end of, obviously, the year, it's also the end of a decade, and it's also the end of the first decade of podcasting. So around August, we passed the 10-year mark for the Bob Davis podcast, started in August of 2009 and has continued since. I think every one of the podcasts has been sponsored, which is a pretty amazing feat, and I'm pretty proud of that. So we have been podcasting. I've been podcasting for 10 years now, and one of the early adopters and adapters to podcasting from radio, and I'll talk about that a little bit in this podcast. So there's only one sponsor of this podcast, and it's an exclusive sponsorship of this podcast. And just by chance, because I rotate these commercials in my podcast, it just happens to be Virtus Law, Nathan Nelson at Virtus Law. What I've been doing, and you'll hear me talk about it in this podcast, is advertising various legal services to help people and small businesses think of the Bob Davis podcast as kind of a resource for legal services. And so I'm going to tell you about Virtus Law and Nathan Nelson of Virtus Law. So Virtus Law has offices in Cambridge, Minnesota, Edina, Maplewood, Red Wing, Mendota Heights, and even an office in Dallas, Texas. When it comes to business, Virtus Law, of course, offers full services. But if you're a small business owner, I think one of the key things in small business is learning to think, or having attorneys that work for you if you're big enough to think strategically. Most of us are one step ahead, if we're lucky, maybe a half a step ahead. And some of us have attorneys that maybe help us think a couple of steps ahead, and that's good. But the truth is, to be on top of things today in business, it's probably not going to be enough to be thinking a half a step or a step ahead, right? You have to have help. So let me give you some examples. Management service agreements. These are different things that people do that sometimes lapse. Sometimes have additional charges. How do you handle those? And most businesses have a ton of those. Succession for family-owned businesses is a big deal. Estate planning, partnerships, of course, asset protection, debt issues, and income tax planning. And on top of that, now health and resource issues and personnel issues, and to address those kinds of issues in business, you need a strategic planner. And for that, Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law is the lawyer you want. So let's be honest, most lawyers don't really give you strategic advice. They bill by the hour. This is what they do. They can do whatever you need them to do. But if you're the owner of a growing business or you have a little more on the ball, you might be frustrated with not getting strategic advice from your current lawyer. You're going to want to look at long-term planning and not short-term transactions. And that is what Nathan W. Nelson, one of the co-founders at Virtus Law, does. Nathan is very down-to-earth, very strategic, and a great guy. Full legal services, strategic planners with fees structured reasonably. Call Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law, 612-888-1000, 612-888-1000. That's 612-888-1000. Virtus Law serves small businesses and their owners. They're online as well. You can also click on the Virtus Law banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Yeah, I think it is. I think it is valuable to review a year. We don't often do it, and the way I do it is I look back at all the podcasts I've done, and I look back at the sponsors, and I look back at the whole year. And I think and it won't happen right away, but I think in general, I was just thinking before I sat down to do the podcast. And by the way, this is an easy talker, so it's not, you know, I'm going to jump around a lot. I think we're going to look back on 2019 as a really pivotal year for a couple of reasons. I also don't like the rankers and the top 10 things that happen and the top 10 songs of the decade and all those things. And some of those things are entertaining, but I'm not a big fan of that stuff. But this was an interesting year because I think this is the first year that people started to really question some of the quote-unquote technical advancements of the last few years. This is the first year where I heard people really seriously question the effect of social media on people's well-being. I certainly did a podcast about that. And it was also a year of continuing to separate myself from politics. And hopefully something will sort of spark my thinking on that, and I'll talk about that a little bit in this podcast as well. But I want to start with the thank yous, which is really important people, whether they are long-term sponsors or just people who have helped me. And I obviously have to start with the general manager of the Bob Davis podcast, my mom, she listens to every podcast on her Galaxy 5. Sometimes I wish she wouldn't listen, but she listens to every single podcast. But she's also always been a major supporter and from the time I was a kid, one of the people who has always said, do something creative, do what you're passionate about, and be happy with that. And when I was bored as a little kid, she'd always say, go make something, go do something. So, I could do a podcast and podcast and podcast about my mom in terms of her direction, but she is definitely the person that taught me a lot about being creative and being in a creative business. I don't do this because it's a great business, podcasting. I do it because I'm driven to do it and it's a passion, which, if you start – and when I get to the business portion of this podcast, maybe I'll get into that a little bit, that starting a business because you're passionate about it seems like a great idea until you've done your business for a while and you realize maybe the passion really isn't a business, and that's kind of a new wrinkle. So the general manager of the Bob Davis podcast gets a big thank you this year, and also my long-term sponsors. You know, I always thank Ed at Ex-Government Cars, although Ed retired and the business is now the dealership's been sold to somebody else that sells different kinds of cars. But Ed always said, throw it up against the wall and see what you got, and don't fret. Don't overthink it too much. Just do it. And so I got to thank Ed Johnson, formerly of Ex-Government Cars. And I have to thank Greg Ryan at Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. We have developed a pretty good friendship and a lot of discussions about business and life lessons that take place with someone that looks at things completely different than I do, which is always a challenge for me. This year was a great year for ReliaFund, my payment processor, and Kevin Hill has always been a great supporter. And thank you very much, Kevin, for everything you've done for the podcasts. And of course, I can't forget my web developer and the guy who really helped me put this thing together at the beginning, Mitch Rossow, for his guidance and web development from the get-go. And I know I drive him crazy. I drive myself crazy. So thank you again, and thanks, Mitch. And I want to also mention, along the lines of business, one of the new wrinkles in the last couple of years has been doing some organized business networking. And I'm not going to say who or what because, honestly, I feel it is a secret weapon. And people will say, well, why do you say that? Well, here's why. You know, I came up in radio from the time I was 13 years old, and radio is a shadow of its former self in terms of a business, but it is a brutal business, and there are certainly highs and lows in a business like that. But people do terrible things to each other in radio, and yet, coming up in it, you develop calluses. And I think the reason I say people do terrible things to each other is that it's a creative business, and people who are very creative and sensitive can really have a lot of trauma working in a business where people can be as brutal as they were back in the day. And I think in many cases still are. And this is unique to the radio business. And I have to say that I was never interested in business per se. I was creative. I was talent. I managed talent. I consulted on talent and creative issues. And then I went back on the air as a talent later, and then finally ended up doing podcasting. And I've talked about that in the podcasts. But you develop these calluses in the radio business. You're moving. People move around. You lose friends. You forget. You lose track of people. All in this business that can be very difficult to work in for certain kinds of people, and especially in the last few years in the radio business. Don't have time to totally get into that in this podcast. But one of the things I've learned about business is that creatives aren't always the best business people. We think passion is enough, and we think that passion for something is enough to start a business, whereas business people actually will look at an idea and determine whether it's valuable for its efficacy as a business. Is it a business? Can it be scaled? What's the earning potential of something? And what I've learned business networking with business people, all kinds of business people, all kinds of large and small businesses at different stages of development is, number one, I've learned to trust people, and I've learned to open my heart a little bit to people and to learn to trust myself as well as to trust other people. And once you start listening to people and opening your heart to people a little bit, then this is the beginning of having the kinds of business relationships where you can really accomplish something. And that is a new wrinkle for me in this business. I'm very calloused after 30 years in the radio business, and the scrapes and the hits that you take emotionally in that business. And I could probably do more podcasts about it, but I just don't see the point. And on top of those kinds of heart lessons, the best way to describe it is those are heart-based lessons for me. I have learned and made great friends in business networking, and that's why I don't share it in the podcast, because it's very personal to me, and its value to me is very personal. So I want to thank all those guys in my business group, and some of them are clients, but I want to thank all the people in the business networking group, because they're really amazing. I will mention one person, and that is Neil Seven, who got me into the group. I don't think he intended to. But again, people that I would never pick to hang out with necessarily turn out to be really, truly the most important people in my life. And I really thank them. And yeah, I'm passionate. I'm hot-tempered. It's tough to learn business lessons for me because I don't have the patience for it, especially in podcasting. And especially selling advertising in my own podcast. I mean, that's what I do. And podcasters always get this. Oh, you teach people how to do podcasts. No, that's not what I do. Or, do you know so-and-so? Because they do a podcast. No, I don't know so-and-so. Or increasingly, I have a podcast. And the truth is that there's millions of podcasts. 99% of them are one-off posts. They never post another podcast. Very few post more than one podcast a month, and that's actually good. And almost none post once a week or several times a week. So when a person works to put out a quality podcast, travel, politics, business, whatever we talk about, it takes a lot out of us. And yes, podcasting as a business has been commoditized. And when you start selling it yourself, you learn about objections. And again, getting back to the business networking thing this year, which is a new wrinkle for me as a business, it has really taught me about the objections that small businesses especially have to advertising and how much it costs and what the price points are and things like that. I think that's more valuable than actually getting business. So the biggest new wrinkle in the podcast business for me has been business networking. It's taught me a ton. Again, artists create and they don't think about business. If you really want to make money, find a tangible service that you can provide more efficiently than all of your competitors and then put your other competitors out of business or buy them up and grow your business. And that's how you make money. You don't make money doing a podcast with a million other podcasts. But that's what I'm doing. So more about that in 2020. But that is why I thank clients and contributors in this podcast. This is my Christmas and Happy New Year card. I don't do Christmas cards. I don't necessarily do presents. But if I don't mention you or don't mention someone or something, it doesn't mean that I'm not deeply grateful to the people who have kept this podcast alive and have kept me alive as well in the process. Well, I mentioned Greg Ryan at Ryan Plumbing, who's been a client for a long time, and of course, Kevin Hill at Relia Fund, and the incomparable Mark Corin of DepoStar, who has been a great supporter of the Bob Davis podcast and me, and puts up with me yelling at him at lunch about Trump most of the time. Sometimes he fights back, but most of the time he just shakes his head. He also made my huge 95-foot power cable for mobile podcast command. So thank you, Mark, for everything you've done, and I hope you have a better 2020 than you had 2019. I have to thank Lois Coffee, who's been a big motivator for me, and she's a network marketer, but a knowledgeable business person as well. It is very tough for people in network marketing to build a network of business associates, and she is very good at it and a very good mentor for people who do business networking as well. And thanks, Lois, both as a client, and we got to do some very creative spots for her. And also turning me on to the Organo shakes because they're great. Have to thank Joe Berg, who does water purification services at the Water Butler. Joe was with, I think he was one of the first people to take a chance on me at the Business Networking Group, and I really appreciated that. And that brings me to John Scott, who is my personal injury attorney. He also took a chance on this podcast, and we have worked really hard to figure out a way to advertise what he does. And that's brought me to the other lawyers that I work with, which is really important for people who have been injured at work or play. I want to thank Todd Johankin at Johankin Jewelers in Columbia Heights. And I have to do a shout-out for Twyla Brays at Citizens Council for Health Freedom here in Minneapolis and St. Paul. She has done tireless work for truly affordable market-based health insurance and is probably the most knowledgeable person about the health insurance issue in politics that I've ever met. And she's also advertised on the Bob Davis podcast. And I had a ton of fun hosting her event a couple of years ago. Want to thank Randy Grabo at Whitetail Builders, a new client. You've probably been hearing me talk about Randy, another business networking associate and client, and truly an amazing craftsman and someone who provides guidance, probably doesn't know that he does without saying very much. And again, thank you, Randy. And I got to thank Jason Waldron at Cartridge World, another advertiser, business associate, and networker. Jason is really fun and one of the first people who walked up to me at a business networking meeting and said, "Hey, I listen to your podcast and I love it and I'm a subscriber." And he's the timekeeper at our business networking meeting and wields the bell with like if you go too long, you're gonna get dinged. He's also a fan of the Garage Logic podcast, which I have to forgive him for. So, Happy New Year, Jason. Obviously, I have two other lawyers to thank. I'm trying to develop the podcast site and sort of experimenting with working with three attorneys and kind of using them on a round robin basis to try to get people to understand that this podcast can be a resource for legal services. Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law, who I really, really, really appreciate, and a longtime listener and client of the Bob Davis podcasts. And of course, Nathan Nelson, who actually sponsored this podcast. All three of the attorneys I'm working with are also business networking associates. I've learned a ton from all of them. Nathan, of course, at Virtus Law. Want to thank John Unverzot at Fitness Together. We did a podcast together, which has actually turned out to be one of the most listened to podcasts recently, where he talked about the history of the fitness business. He's also from Columbus, Ohio, which is where my family's from, so I have that connection with him. Now, one of the things that I do in these podcasts is I travel a lot, and I have this mobile podcast command ambulance, which I just call a truck. And I got it because Ed Johnson at Ex-Government Cars, I wanted a van, and he goes, we're going to get you something bigger than that so that you'll at least be more comfortable. And it was cheap. I paid $4,000 for this podcast van, this mobile podcast command, this old ambulance. And I've had to do a lot of work, and it's been, you know, kind of a journey, but I've been really able to travel all over the country and have all my equipment in there when I travel. And one of the things that I do is I have a little donate button at the BobDavisPodcast.com for people to make contributions. Don't do Patreon. I don't know why, but I don't. And so I ask people to make contributions to the Bob Davis Podcast when I am traveling. And I got a lot of people to thank, because this is what I'll do, is I'll go on my PayPal account and go and look at all the people who have contributed in terms of the history of the transactions. And there are a lot. And the first and foremost is John Holland, who is a high school friend of mine. And John, aside from being a huge supporter and helping me out more than once, also lets me stay at park at his apartment complex because it upsets the neighbors, according to him, that allows me to plug in. And, you know, it's great when you've known somebody like John a long time. And of course, John also just recently insisted on buying two steering tires for the front of the vehicle, because the ones I had were like off-road tires and they were really just torn to shreds and they weren't working right. And so thank you, John. Also, Steve Steiner in Chicago, another high school friend who constantly Steve's dad was my scoutmaster. I've told tons of stories about Steve's dad, who just collected so much stuff over the years. And every time I go to Chicago, Steve hands me all these things that I think I don't need, and I get pissed. And then I get out on the road and something happens, and, oh, I've got that thing that Steve gave me. Oh, now I see. And he's hilarious, because he's like, oh, I see how it is. The last thing was one of those it's a three-prong plug that you plug in, and it tells you what kind of power you're getting and whether the line is correct. And I ended up using – I didn't even know what it was. And I was at this place, someplace in Iowa in this last trip, and I go, oh, yeah, I've got that thing. I can pull into somewhere and see if the plug is working. And so that's just a great example of the stuff. So Steve Steiner, thanks a ton for helping me out so much, even when I don't want to be helped. He helps me out a ton. And of course, I always got to thank my best friend and Steve's best friend too, Andy McVeigh down in Arizona, for just being a big supporter and a fan and a good friend. And then there's a bunch of people who have contributed to my adventures on the road. And again, I say this, and it's not a joke. Sometimes a contribution is the difference between eating dinner that night and not eating dinner. So I want to thank Sue Solomon, who has contributed and contributed and contributed, Sean Sarazen, Wayne Nelson, Randy Walker, Jason Feipel, hope I pronounced that right, Caleb from Parts by Nate, who also turned me onto this this thing where sometimes you can plug into the electric car charging stations. But so far, I haven't been able to use it, but I'm keeping that in the back of my mind. Jack Kelly, Dave Forbes, who was the owner of Brush Studio that we advertised for a long time, Wayne Hintermeister, Ben Harris at Sharp Creative blew me away with the contribution, and I really appreciated that because Ben and I networked together. Larry Aller, William Johnson, Michael Williams, Jeff Dunn, Jill Serbay, again, the sister of one of the most amazing people I've ever met in my life. My friend Tammy, who is Round the Way Girl, who is no longer with us, Jill and her husband, Myron, and the whole family. Really appreciate you guys. Greg Stamp, as well. And finally, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to say, but I definitely want to also include my yoga people in all this, because I have to say, you know, I mentioned earlier that this has been a year and really a 10-year period in which I have slowly separated from politics. It doesn't mean I don't talk about politics, but I would say today I talk more about society than I talk about politics, because the political situation in this country has reached the point where arguing about these day-to-day things is completely pointless. And I think you see that in the podcast where I talk about populism, or I talk about the disease of social media sort of creating a situation where people are involuntarily intoxicated and so on. Trying to find those things. And it is not easy, because I could do a podcast every day about the stuff going on in the news. It gets very difficult to find and to think, and I have to really go through a process of thinking about what I'm thinking about to try to find those things that will help people to think. And I think there will be a lot more of that going forward. But one of the reasons that I've been able to transcend a lot of the political fighting is because of yoga. So I got to thank John Shaw, of course, Emilia, Laura, Barry, Lucas, both Megans, Claire, Lou, of course, and a lot of the sculpt teachers. I didn't start taking sculpt until a couple, 3 years ago. So yoga sculpt is an amazing experience. Emily, Ellen, Rebecca C. especially, and Zoe at Highland Park, thank you for everything you've done, even though you didn't even know you were doing anything for me. Rena and all the OG teachers that I take classes from on a regular basis here in town in Minneapolis and St. Paul, who are so amazing, as well as a few teachers and people that I've had a lot of fun doing yoga with on the road. An example of that is, I think I was in Louisville, and I pulled into this parking lot, and I parked, and I looked at it, and I thought, I've been here before, but I thought this place was in Florida. This is what happens when you travel a lot. You don't even know where you are, where you've been. And I looked at it and looked at it, and I thought, this is really weird. I think I've been here. So I went, and I went to the class, and I said to the teacher, I think I've been here before. And, you know, have I? I don't know. And she goes, oh, yeah, you were here 2 years ago. So that was a great class. And that was the class where I almost kicked somebody. Actually, I did kick somebody with my foot. And it was one of those Bikram classes that was just jam-packed full. A lot of fun classes. Napa Valley and of course, Lake Country Yoga out in California and different places I've been where I've done yoga have been really, really great. And I look forward to more of that in the future. As far as travel is concerned, this has been an interesting experience. First of all, travel, again, got to thank Ed for Mobile Podcast Command going back to I think I got it in the winter of 2014. So I started traveling in 2015. And the first trip I took, I went out west, and that's the one where I came down the mountain in the snowstorm and the tires were bald. I'll never forget that. And the thing needed a new muffler, and there were just all kinds of crazy things going on. But it has been so great to travel around this country, and especially lately going on these back road experiences all over the country have been great. This has been a year of traveling out east. And I ended up having to go east twice this year. And part of it is my mom lives in Virginia. So really don't – she's 90 – well, I shouldn't say how old she is, but she's old. And, you know, we want to take the opportunity to my sister and I to see her as much as we can, you know, because she's not exactly 27 years old, right? So I go out east. And this is the second time. I went twice this year, I think. Went in June for her birthday, and then I went just recently for Thanksgiving. So I've had the opportunity to crisscross the central part of the United States and to perfect, and I will talk more about this in 2020, to really perfect this method of navigating with an actual, you know, old school map and a compass, which, by the way, Steve Steiner gave me. Thank you. One of those giant floating compasses that the old men used to have on their 58 Buicks, which I'm sure if you're old enough, you'll remember that. just navigating with a compass and a map, and really only being on the back roads. So these eastern trips have really helped me perfect that. And of course, the east is much tighter, so the states are close together and they're a little smaller. So this has been a great year for travel on the back roads, and to crisscross this central part of the United States, which is going to be so pivotal politically in 2020. See, I'm talking about politics, but I think going to the ground and seeing these places, Evansville and Henderson, Kentucky, Evansville, Indiana, Lafayette, places like that, it really helps to actually see these places that you hear talked about so much in the media to really understand what's going on. But this has also been a year in which I have distances, as I said, more and more from the day-to-day political world. And I have a friend I will not name who has helped me a lot to deal with this, although she probably doesn't know it. She and her husband are looking for a way out of Minnesota, and both of us are pretty disgusted with the trend of politics in the state of Minnesota, but really across the country for a lot of reasons. And I've done quite a few podcasts about that process. I don't have to go into that here because it kind of also negatively affects the spirit of a New Year's Eve and New Year's Day podcasts. I've had occasion this year to see a lot of these posts, in particular on LinkedIn, but in other places too, where they tell you they're sayings that are about life or about business pursuits or excellence or whatever. And I have come to the conclusion that most of it is vapid and worthless. One of the things I had to do for my business meeting was find the quote every week. And I finally devolved into famous last words, because most of these business quotes that people that supposedly motivate people, motivational quotes from motivational coaches and everything else, just useless. And we've often heard this idea that you shouldn't set resolutions, or what used to be just a simple old anxiety kind of thing that you do on New Year's. Hey, I hope next year I can lose 10 pounds has turned into, of course, there's a set of guidelines for best practices when it comes to resolutions. I have never wasted my time with that stuff. I certainly have not wasted my time with diets. You know, when I make a diet decision, it's a lifestyle decision, and I'm not going to go back on that. When I decide to quit smoking or quit drinking or whatever, it happens once, and then it doesn't happen again because it's not necessary, because it's a complete lifestyle change. And by the way, both of those decisions didn't take place on New Year's Eve, and they weren't New Year's resolutions. But now they're telling people, well, you should review. You should look at how your year went and take a review. Most of the time, we don't actually even know. For me, it's when I do my taxes. That's how I really know how my business went in the previous year, when I sit down to do the taxes. And as I will tell you, I know that 2019 was tough for a lot of people. It was certainly tough for me. I wouldn't call this a rewarding year. It's just been a hard slog all through the year. And a lot of decisions I have made to get to 2020 makes me pretty optimistic about 2020. I'm happy about 2020, especially in terms of focusing on what I do as I look ahead. I don't make resolutions, and I'm not going to make resolutions, but I do have a few ideas and some plans under wraps. I won't share them until I can do them. But if I do get to do some of them, I think this could be a pretty surprising and amazing year. So stay tuned. Happy New Year and Happy New Decade. Thanks for listening to Podcast 889, the Bob Davis Podcast, the New Year's Podcast for 2020.